here. All right, the hope is not to end up like this. We don't want our lives to come crashing down. But the goal isn't that we become better plate spinners, right? Doing our lives just as they are, just more efficiently. No, we have to take a different approach to life balance. We realize that in life there are ebbs and flows and times when things are busier, times when things are less busy, right? It kind of goes back and forth, almost like a pendulum, right? Swinging times of busyness to times of less busyness, right? We have, exactly, just like this beautiful pendulum here. And on any given day, this pendulum can swing from work or fruitfulness to, if we can go back the slide, actually. Thank you. It goes from work and fruitfulness to this sense of abiding and resting. All right. And the goal isn't that we stay directly in the middle, this quote unquote perfect balance of work and rest, because that staying in the middle isn't necessarily the goal here. But just like with spinning plates, sometimes we have so much stuff going on that our pendulum can swing so far over the work side of things that it then crashes to the other side, like that. All right, some of you probably know a little bit what this crashing feeling looks like, right? It's not really rest. It's just kind of a forced stoppage. Your body and your soul can't really take anymore, right? Some symptoms of what this might look like, right? You might get sick, right? For me, I get pretty irritated very easily. I get pretty irritating, I imagine, to the people around me. Right? And these seasons of life, they come. All right, and when we have a season of life that swings more towards the busy side, good life balance would suggest that we have another season that equally swings over towards the rest side of things. And I don't want to get too far into this idea of rest, because that's what Crystal is going to be talking about next week. But the point is that many of ourselves find our lives busy, just about constantly. We're busy people. Our society today often kind of idolizes busyness. Right, we want to look busy so the people around us don't look down on us and kind of think we're lazy. Right, so if we know that our pendulum stays too far on one side of things, right, we know that we're so busy, what are we going to do about this? Where do we even start to approach this topic? Right, one of the things is just to take an inventory of what are the things in our life that take up time. Right, there's a lot of things. We have a list here just to kind of get us started. You think about, out of this list, what are the things that take up the most time in your life? All right, many of you, it's probably school, a work or a job. Some of you are doing work and a job on top of school. Right, exercise, taking care of your health. Friendships, family, relationships. Sleep, okay, maybe some of you wish this was taking up more time in your life. But that's still a thing. All right, our personal relationship with God. Our church community, and even within this idea of a church community, we've got worship, like what we're doing now on a Sunday morning. We've got using and serving our gifts, whether it's running lights or leading an engage group or doing other things. Or maybe we're kind of living out this kingdom life and building into others, building into the people around us. All right, that's a lot of things going on, and that's not even a full, complete list, I'd say. And these are all really good things. Right? You can't really take any of them out completely just to make your life a little bit easier. I'm sure that if there was a way to live a healthy life and not sleep, somebody would have done it by now and made a lot of money doing it. But the thing is, which of these things come first? It's really easy to think of life balance just in terms of a time management issue. But really, it's so much more of a priorities issue. And that's where things get interesting. And so to look at this idea of priorities a little bit better, we're going to turn to the Sermon on the Mount. All right, it's Matthew chapter 6, if you want to go ahead and turn there. We spent time in the Sermon on the Mount before. It's packed with a lot of good stuff. But we're going to read together starting in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, Robbie mentioned this verse very briefly last week, but this is going to be our kind of key verse today. And so if you don't remember anything else from today, remember this verse, all right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And we're going to get back to this specific verse in a minute. But right now, let's go back to this passage that we have. And if we go back to the beginning, we see a therefore. And just like any good middle school teacher would say, we've got to ask ourselves, what's the therefore, therefore? And to answer that question, we have to step back to the section just before this. So stepping back to verse 19. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And skipping to verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so when you look at these verses, we kind of have this middle chunk of reassurance, which we read first, talking about do not worry, do not be anxious. And then it's bookended on either side with a challenge to our focus, a resetting of our priorities, if you will. And verses 19 to 24 really talk about this treasure in heaven. Verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I feel like you could also say something like, for where your treasure is, there your time is, or there your money is. Right? These things help us to see where our priorities are, to see what it is, that thing that we're seeking. So my question to you is, what is your treasure? What is your heart, your mind, your soul, your bank account so devoted to each and every day? Right, maybe the treasure is graduating with honors, right, getting into that major, getting a co-op or an internship. Maybe your treasure is getting a job or getting that promotion, finding a spouse. Or let's kind of think of things a little bit smaller scale, the day-to-day type things. Right, what are you working towards each week? Is your treasure getting a good grade on your test next week? Or going to every club meeting so you can be the club president next year? Or maybe it's literal treasure, money. Right? Verse 24 has something to say about this very specifically. It says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, let me reiterate that pursuing these things, pursuing a job, school, relationships, it's not a bad thing. But is it balanced? Who or what are you seeking first? Who or what are you seeking first? You know, in a lot of ways it boils down to this question. Is your treasure the kingdom of God or anything else? Right, who is your master? Is your master God or the to-do list? These are the tough questions that we've got to ask ourselves. And these verses are saying that when we are seeking Christ, when he is our treasure, when he is our master, we don't have to worry about all these other things. And that takes us back to this middle section of verses, this chunk of reassurance that we read first today. Let's go back through a few of those verses and take a deeper look at them. All right, it says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I mean, this statement alone is so countercultural, it might take a minute to really grasp what it's trying to say. I mean, just think about all the messages and the advertisements that we see around us, right? Aren't food and clothes kind of towards the top of that list? We got a picture somewhere in there. There we go. All right, food and clothes, these are the things that kind of grab our attention. But Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about this. I've got you covered. We've got more important things to talk about, to think about. But how do we pursue these things? How do we not worry about these things? Well, Jesus continues. He talks about how even the birds are provided for without them getting worked up over providing for themselves. And then he goes on to talk about the flowers and how beautiful they are. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, I gotta admit, when I read this sometimes, I kind of think of a guy in a flower costume. I don't know, but it comes to mind sometimes. But the thing is, if he says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? All right, God loves you. He cares about you. In just the next verse, he says, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. All right, it's not that God's saying, don't worry about that stuff. You don't need it. No, he created you. He created us in his own image. He knows every very small, minute detail about our lives. And man, if he knows that, I gotta think that he knows what we need. Now, let's understand what Jesus is not saying here. Jesus is not saying, quit school, don't get a job, just sit, pray, and groceries will appear at your doorstep. Although I feel like Amazon and their drones are starting to get towards that. But don't get me wrong, God could call you to quit your job. God could call you to move into a position that's harder, that requires more faith. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about life balance. You see, there's a difference between effort and anxiety. If you look at it on a continuum, you can kind of think of it with laziness on one end, and then kind of effort in the middle, and then we have worry on the other end. All right, Jesus is saying, don't be anxious. Don't worry. All right, he could have very well said, don't be lazy. In fact, in many other places in Scripture, he does say that, but that wasn't the issue that he was dealing with here with the people he was talking with. Worry was the issue. Focus on the here and now and the list of umpteen different things that take up our energy and our focus. That is what we're dealing with. A lot of this boils down to trust. Do we really trust that God is going to provide? Now, I know that this idea of trusting God is a huge topic. We could devote like a whole series to this one thing. But I did want to spend a little bit of time this morning diving into this issue of trusting God, since it's something that I'm pretty sure a lot of us can relate to on a very day-to-day basis. I'm confident that everyone in here has had to trust God with something at some point, right? Whether it's a job, tuition money, right? For some of you, I know, mission trip support money to go to Honduras, right? That you've had to trust God, and many of you are in that position now where you really need God to come through, right? And when you're in that position, there's a couple verses that come to mind. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are some of my favorite verses. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust in God with all your heart. Don't trust yourself. I mean, there's so many times in my own life where I let my circumstances put a fence around what I trust God for. Right? But these verses are saying just the opposite. And this is really hard for me. I mean, it's so easy to put our trust in what we see, what's right in front of us, what we understand of the situation. But there's been so many times in my walk with God where I've been very convinced of a very specific outcome, and then God very clearly proved me wrong. Because in almost every situation, there's so many variables, so many things going on that we don't have control of. There's so much going on in the background that we might not ever know or understand. But do we trust God beyond what we can see? Are we acknowledging him? Are we praying, worshiping, communing with our Heavenly Father in those times that we really need him to come through? For me, this area of trust was really tested when I was raising support to come on staff with this church about 2 or 3 years ago. After I graduated, I went to training, and then I entered into the season of raising financial support. And I was going to be in that season until it was done. Right, I didn't know when it was going to end, and honestly, I wasn't confident that it would end. But I had to trust that God was going to provide. All right, and it was completely dependent on God moving through people and places that I didn't really expect. I mean, there are so many times I would be on the phone with my coach, Steve, who's getting ordained today, which is really awesome. But I'd be on the phone with Steve just worried and frustrated of, yeah, I've seen God provide for all these other people to go on staff, but would he provide for me? Was he actually moving beyond what I could see right in front of me? Right, I had to realize that obedience to his calling was more important than the paycheck I could have been earning if I went a different route. I mean, I had just finished a master's degree in engineering here at Virginia Tech, and there were so many times where I was tempted to just dwell on what I gave up to come on staff. But I had to seek God first, right? Before what was comfortable, before the easier route, before what most people thought was the better route, right? I knew that God had called me to go on staff. And so I had to trust that he was going to provide the basic necessities to make that happen. I mean, right now we've got several other people doing this very same thing, right? They all have college degrees. They're all very smart people, but they decided to seek God's kingdom first, to go out on a limb and go on staff. They're raising support right now. All right, we've got Anna Gibbs. Some of you may, a lot of you probably know her. Praise God, she's almost done. All right, we're really hoping that she's going to be back just after spring break. And we've got Morgan and Enrique Solizano, and they're both raising support as a couple to go on staff, so they're sitting right around 25%. All right, keep praying for them. We want to have them back as part of our church again. All right, maybe you've been thinking, God, are you calling me to go on staff? Are you calling me into ministry? Right, maybe you're going to be a part of the church plant that we have in 3 or 4 years from now. Will you trust God with the plans he has for you? I mean, whatever situation we're in, do we trust that God is going to take care of these basic necessities? Right, food, clothing, the things that we very much need to live. Because you are so loved by God that he doesn't want us to worry about these basic things. He doesn't want us to worry about these things because they are things of utmost importance that we need to be focusing on, right? Things of the kingdom. Now let's dive a little bit deeper into this verse, our key verse for today, Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We're going to break this down, just look at a few individual words from this verse. First one is the word seek. All right, the word seek in the original Greek comes from the word zeteo. Right, and that word can mean to desire, endeavor, or to seek after. Right, we want that thing. And when we really take an honest look at our relationship with God, do we genuinely desire to see his kingdom come? Do we genuinely desire his righteousness? Right, and even as we say those things, kingdom and righteousness, sometimes we just throw those words out there without really taking a minute to think about what they mean. As for God's kingdom, if you spent much time around NLCF, you know that we've dealt with this topic very specifically, all right? Most likely in the Sermon on the Mount before. Like I said, there's a lot of good stuff in there. In fact, just last October, Robbie gave a really good talk on the kingdom of God as part of our What Does God Think About series, all right? Just go on the NLCF.net website, look it up. It's a good one. All of our talks are on the website. You can go back and listen to them. But to quickly review, okay, God's kingdom is a state where God is the king, and his followers are living under his power and glory. All right, we're in this place where God's kingdom has already started with Jesus coming, dying, and resurrecting. But the kingdom has not fully come yet. It's not fully here. Okay, we're still in this world that is very broken. There's a lot of pain. Right? Many of you probably realize that very clearly. All right, so we're stuck in this already, but the not yet. But here in this verse, God is calling us to seek his kingdom. All right, to live in a way that makes our surroundings look a little more like the kingdom of God that we're all anxiously looking forward to. All right, so we're to seek his kingdom, but we're also to seek his righteousness. All right, this right way of living in the kingdom of God. Are we living the way that the New Testament describes? The way that Jesus calls us to live? All right, that's what we're to be seeking. And as we're seeking, God is going to provide. But the thing is, can we leverage our faith and trust in God to actually make a difference in the way we balance our lives? Right? Does our weekly schedule actually reflect our identity as followers of Jesus? Right? How do we do this? How do we make this happen? How do we let these verses in Matthew 6 really take hold and seep down into our lives and affect the decisions we do each and every day? So the first question to ask really is, which part of this do you wrestle with? So we're going to go into kind of three main areas that you might be wrestling with in regards to life balance and talk about some things that we can do to improve that. So the first thing, maybe wrestling with the idea of what your treasure is. All right, who your master is. And the best thing you can really do here is just spend some time reflecting on what your treasure is, right? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? And if you're not sure where to start, just take a look at this list that we've got. We're going to go through a few of these things. All right, grades. How much do you focus on getting an A on that test or passing that class while leaving God in the background? A girlfriend or a boyfriend, whether you're single or in a relationship, this could apply to you. All right, when I was single, this was very much an unhealthy treasure for me. The things that I did, the things that I thought about all revolved around finding a potential future spouse. All right, or if you're in a relationship with someone, your significant other could have become that treasure that you're seeking. All right, have you started to abandon other friendships to make time for this person? Maybe you're spending time with your significant other, but not making time to have a quiet time each day. All right, this is something that when Allie and I first started dating, we had to be very careful of. All right, do we prioritize time with each other over time with God? Who came first? All right, the next thing, physical appearances. Do you skip more quiet times or workouts at the gym? All right, do you go to the gym more than you go to small group? I know for some people, they're so dedicated to their physical appearance that they feel guilty for missing a workout, but think nothing of skipping their time with God or skipping engage group on Thursday night. Money, popularity, fame, comfort. All right, is your first choice the easiest, most stress-free thing you can do? Or is it the thing that God might be calling you to? Food, clothes, like we talked about earlier. Busyness. Yes, I even put the idea of busyness up here. Because like I mentioned, we create an idol out of it. And this is something that I wrestle with. I try and fill all the gaps of time just so people don't look down on me, so people don't think I'm unproductive. All right, so here's the deal. I challenge you to take 1 hour this week. All right, if you need to pull out your phone, your calendar right now, and schedule out this hour, go ahead and do it. But take an hour and just reflect. Reflect on this list and see what rises to the top. And if you're someone that's got to kind of learn this through experience, then write down a couple of these things that might fit you. And then as you go throughout the week, as soon as you think about that thing, do that thing, dwell on that thing, just make a tally mark. And over the course of the week, see what has the most tally marks. And maybe that might be the thing that you're seeking. Next, maybe you wrestle with the first aspect, right? Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right, really making God Lord over your life and the number one priority. All right, if this is you, I challenge you to make your daily time with God the first thing you do when you get up in the morning. I mean, right now, think about it. What's the first thing you do when you get up? You grab your phone, check social media, press the snooze button one more time. All right, one of the things I picked up from a friend of mine, I guess it was a few years ago, is that before I even get out of bed, I turn my alarm off, I sit up, kind of wrap a blanket around because it's kind of cold. But before I put my feet on the ground, I say just a quick prayer. It's nothing super long or spectacular, and I'm honestly not 100% with it because I just woke up. But I start the day with prayer, kind of giving my day to God. Maybe you just try that this week. Before you put your feet on the ground, just pray. And then like Robbie talked about last week and having our 15 minutes to spend with God in the Bible and praying, simply discipline yourself this week to make that the first thing you do each day. And if you really want a challenge, maybe you try fasting from food until you spend time with God. I imagine that will take effect fairly quickly. All right, some other things you can do to adjust your schedule to make God first in your life. All right, move your small group or engage group time higher up on your priorities list. Maybe you simply commit to going this week. All right, if you have to reschedule other things, you do. If you have to work harder other nights of the week, then you do it. You carve out that time and you protect it. Okay, the same thing goes for Sunday mornings. All right, spending time in smaller groups during the week and worshiping together as a congregation on Sundays is so important to our relationship with God and to seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. All right, are we protecting our Sunday mornings or are we letting other things get in the way in our calendar? And what about taking time to serve others? I mean, how many times have we said, man, I would love to serve an XYZ project or food pantry, I just don't have time. All right, you don't have time or it's not high enough on your priorities list? Over the next few weeks, I challenge you to protect those times and then just see what God does. Just try it. Protect those times and then see what God does with that. Do you believe that God is going to make a way for you to get your work done if you take a step of faith and go to a small group or you go to church on Sunday morning, even if you have a lot of stuff to do? Right? Do you believe that God is going to make a way for that? And lastly, maybe the part that's hard for you is trusting God to provide. Okay, if this is you, one of the things I find really helpful is just reflecting back on the things that God has done in my life. All right, reflect back over the past year and think, what are the things that God has done? You know, what does this look like practically? One thing is just journaling, right? Anytime you see God do something, write it down. Journal your prayers. Journal answered prayers. Journal the things that you're really wrestling with in your heart. And then weeks, months, years from now, you can go back and look at where God has brought you. Okay, I know for me, this is just a Word document, okay? It doesn't have to be a 5x7 leather-bound moleskin with silver metallic pen. Okay, nothing against that, but that doesn't work for me. So whatever works for you, whatever you need to do to be able to journal and write these things down, do that. Okay, and if journaling isn't for you, then try to find a memory peg and connect that memory peg with something that God has done. All right, let me explain that a little bit more. All right, so you have this bench or a tree or an object or something, and then whenever you see that thing, you reflect on where God has moved and provided in your life. And so building that discipline takes time. But eventually, whenever you're lacking trust, you can go and seek out this thing and be reminded of what God has done. You know, for me, I've mentioned this a couple times in the past, but for me, that place is Lane Stadium. All right, whenever I drive into work, most mornings, I see it and I think, this is the place where God did something great. Not necessarily in football all the time. I think we get that. But for me, it's the place where God did something great in my life, specifically in 2014. Because there are three huge things that he did for me that year. All right, he helped me finish grad school. He answered prayers for a relationship with my now fiance. And then he helped me raise support to come on staff. Three things that would not have been possible without God moving in crazy and powerful ways. And so now whenever I'm lacking trust in God, I just go, I take a walk around the stadium, and I remember things that he's done that year, then I can start to remember all the little things that he's done for me ever since then. And so find that place, try it, go to that place, reflect on what God has done for you. All right, maybe you take one of these verses that we talked about this morning, Matthew 6:33, is a good one, and you just commit it to memory. And then throughout this week, whenever you're feeling anxious or worried, just repeat that verse to yourself and meditate on it. All right, let the truth and the power of God's scriptures wash over you. Now, for many of you, this isn't your first rodeo. This idea of life balance is not something new. You've been trying a lot of these things that we've talked about. And so if this is you and you're kind of ready for a little bit more deep challenge, something that's a little bit harder, then I would really challenge you to invest in the upcoming season of Lent. All right, it's coming up in just a few weeks. Ash Wednesday is March 1st. Which is the start of Lent. But this is a great time to challenge yourself to give up or to fast from something and then add in a spiritual discipline alongside other Christians across the whole world. All right? Christians all over the world do this, and that can only make this a little bit easier if we're doing it with other people around us. All right? Maybe you take one of these challenges, you do it over the whole course of Lent, and just see what God does. Because a big part of Lent is fasting from food. So maybe you fast from a meal every other day, and then you spend that time trusting in God, or focusing on trusting him. Trusting that he's going to provide for you because he knows you. All right, he knows us more than we know us. He loves us so much that he doesn't want us to worry about the things that he's already got taken care of. He wants us to be at peace and not to worry or be anxious because he's with us. He loves us. And he's moving in very powerful ways all around us. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this morning. It's such an opportunity to be able to worship you as a community together, Lord. And I thank you for everyone who has come this morning seeking you, seeking to hear from you. And I pray that you would move in that. I pray that you would honor their time, honor their faithfulness to this church community, and that you would speak to them. God, I pray for anyone who's in here right now who's really struggling to get their work done, and coming here this morning was a sacrifice for them. Lord, I pray that you would honor that and you would make a way where there is no way right now. for them to get their work done. Lord, I pray that you would convict us of what our treasure is. Lord, of what this thing is that we are seeking before you. God, we are sorry. We ask for your forgiveness in that. Help us to see your goodness. Help us to want, to desire your kingdom, to desire your righteousness more in our lives. Lord, this is something that I don't think any of us have really figured out. It's an ongoing process. Lord, give us your grace and your mercy as we figure out these things, as we continue each day to make decisions about what we're going to do. Lord, help us to make decisions that reflect you as our King. Amen. Thanks, guys.